The first lesson for the day is written in the sixth chapter of the book of Micah, beginning at the first verse. With the mountains and the foundations of the earth as the jury, God brings a lawsuit against Israel. God has wearied Israel with a long history of saving acts. God does not want or expect lavish sacrifices to attempt to earn divine favor. Rather, God empowers the people to do justice, to love loyalty to God, and to walk in service to God. A reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, there is a lot of great richness of God to proclaim in all of our readings today. I could probably do a multi-week sermon series on them. I'm going with Micah because it's been eating at me for the last 3 months. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? It is said so simply that it seems pretty clear, but yet it still eats at me. It eats at me because for the last 2 years, I've seen our country tear apart again and again. I'm only 29 years old, so my personal and collective history are brief compared to many, and I don't know how the current division of our communities holds up to previous times of great tension, but I can tell you this, I don't like it, and I don't think you like it either. And I also know that many of you would probably gladly hear me and Pastor Josh say that we will not bring up anything about party line division in our country or anything that skirts close to a political edge. But we cannot stop talking about this because God calls us to love each other, all the each others out there, whether similar to us or different from ourselves. And we need to build bridges across the division instead of build up walls. But also just as much I say, I don't care who you voted for, I don't care what bumper stickers you have on your car, or who you feel the greater evil was out of the November decisions. Further living in those divides only digs our trenches deeper and is not anything we are called to. Which brings me back to the verse that's been gnawing on my nerve endings. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. The more I think about these requirements that God gives us, the more I realize the tension in the relationship of the three. But they all are required to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly, and they need some unpacking. So what is it to do justice? When I think about doing justice, I get a few images in my head. I think of courtrooms where justice is served. I think of civil rights movements, the marches, the sit-ins, the peaceful protests that stood up to power and said, no, this is not okay, and we will not accept it any longer, and instead shared a dream of a just reality. I think of the Pledge of Allegiance that says, with liberty and justice for all. Doing justice can sometimes come as relieving vindication and other times come as a holy anger so great that it burns. But if we leave out justice, if we just love kindness and walk humbly, we end up with neighbors who are suffering, powers that are raging, and a crushed world which is being ignored for the sake of smiling at a stranger and not getting too arrogant. These are good things to do, to smile and not be arrogant, but you can be kind and humble to a neighbor and still ignore their oppression and thus become an accomplice in it. Loving kindness and walking humbly without doing justice may look like worshiping our Lord, who was a refugee just after his birth, but remaining silent when refugees are refused welcome and safety in our land. And then we come to kindness. You may have also heard this as love mercy, but either way, we are called to love in this fashion. I believe this follows the requirement of doing justice because that burning hot anger I just described, well, it can sometimes come out not so nice. Sometimes we do justice out of hate. We do justice out of vengeance. We do justice out of fear. But here God gives us a guideline: love kindness. Loving kindness does not just mean that we love those who are nice to us. This requirement is to love as we have been loved, which God does with kindness and mercy. So what happens if we leave out kindness and mercy and only seek justice in walking humbly with God? Without kindness and mercy, we are never able to reconcile our differences. Without kindness and mercy, forgiveness is not genuine. And then we walk humbly. This is the hardest one for me. I can easily go around striving for justice and be nice to people, but have a proud heart that I'm right and they are wrong. I can do justice and love kindness, but do it in a way that is not honoring my neighbors, that puts myself above them or writes them off entirely. This is not doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly. That's acting prouder than I ought. It does not honor or love God or my neighbor. It is self-serving and self-righteous. But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly, we must see our neighbors. We must see our neighbors with different opinions and care about them and love them the same. And not just in a superficial way, but in a way that actually cares more about in relationship than being right. And that's a big pill to swallow, and it's prescribed to both sides of any division or disagreement. So what do we do? Before these requirements were named in the Micah text, the author questions, "With what shall I come before the Lord?" Asking about burnt offerings, rivers of oil, and other sacrificial items to make one right with God. But that's not it. Being made right is not what it's about. It's the key dimensions of how we live with our neighbors because of what God has done for us. And how we live with our neighbors all around the world, all of God's children. It's about being in relationship, not being right. And this is not an easy thing to do, but thankfully we have a God that must know we learn best from modeled behavior. God continually seeks to be in relationship with us, no matter what wrongs we have done. God continually longs to be in relationship with us, no matter what wrongs we have done. God puts relationship with us above being right. If God didn't, grace wouldn't be a thing, and we would all be in a lot of trouble. God sent Jesus to be in relationship with us, to walk with us, to show God's love in real ways, ways that fed thousands that were hungry, ways that healed when they were broken, ways that wept when one was gone, ways that said, "You who is without sin, cast the first stone." That cares about relationship more than being right. Jesus was doing justice, loving kindness, even walking humbly while being God. God enters our brokenness, and rather than telling us how we are wrong and broken, instead says God loves us. God stays with us, heals us, calls us God's own, and says, "You belong." God even went to die on a cross for us, to forgive our sins, our wrongdoings, the things we have done and left undone. God does this to make us right with God, which we are not capable of, to be forgiven, beloved children who can focus now on being in relationship with God and with our neighbors. If God can do this for us, why do we struggle so much to do it with each other? It doesn't mean that there won't still be conflict and divide. We are still called to work for justice in a world of injustice that doesn't always come easy. We are still called to love kindness in a world where hate and fear run wild. We are still called to walk humbly in a world where power and prestige are the measures of worth. We are still called to do what is right. We just need to do it without focusing on being right. In some ways, this seems simple. In others, it's beyond complex. God does not lead us to an easy road to walk. It would be much easier to just give sacrifice than to be called to the higher road of loving our neighbor and being actively involved in being just and kind and a humble relationship with them and with God. But thank God that this short list of heavy requirements all ends with God. God does not leave us. In the face of injustice and inequality, do justice. God is with you. In the face of hate and fear, love kindness. God is with you. In the face of power and pride, walk humbly. God is with you. Thanks be to God.